we are to be disciples. And disciples make disciples. What you are is what you'll replicate. We have so many babies being born in this church. Well, it's humans that are having humans. Your DNA replicates the same type of DNA. What you are will be the sort of thing that you replicate. And so my question will mostly be, who are you? And is that what you want to be replicating? Is that what you want to be? Are you the disciple that will make disciples that are like Jesus? Through a flashback to last week, I said we're going to be looking at the book of Acts over the summer. As I speak, we'll be looking at the book of Acts. And last week, we saw that Jesus showed convincing proofs to his disciples that he had risen from the dead. But then he made it clear, I'm here, so I'm going to send the Spirit, and you're going to go out and do the work. He's not going to do it all himself. So he would send the Holy Spirit, and they would learn to be sent and to share what they had learned. But Jesus says, okay, for the moment, wait. He goes up into heaven, but they're told, wait for when the Holy Spirit will come. And so what do they do after that? And that's what we're going to look at today. Picking up the story, the very sentence after where we left off last week, in Acts chapter 1, verse 12, the disciples, they're on the Mount of Olives, and then they walk back to Jerusalem, and they start praying together. They have a prayer meeting in the upper house where they're staying, and there's about 120 of them that would be coming together as they would be praying. And at one point when that was present, Peter stood up and he addressed them. And he says, brothers, it was necessary for the scriptures to come true. And he continues to teach. The quick things I want to pick out from this, what were they doing? And a very important part of who they were, what they're living, is they were praying together. Another very important part is they are together. There's fellowship. They're all together. Often it's family, it's togetherness. And the third one was definitely teaching, where Peter stands up, he's one of the apostles, and he's teaching from what the scriptures say. He said, brothers, this is what the scriptures said had to come true. And so there's prayer, there's apostolic teaching, and there's togetherness. And my assumption is during that time, perhaps they were just fasting all the time, but my guess is there was food. I'm just adding that one in there. But I assume there was food, as much so because right before Jesus had died, he had had this meal with them and said, as often as you do this, you remember me. When you eat together, when you drink together, you're remembering me. And something that we see is that these apostles, in the teaching that Peter gives right after that, he's talking about Jesus and that memory of Jesus and what Jesus has done and what Jesus had said. And so there's that memory of Jesus. So remember those three, and I'll say four things, adding in food or memory of Jesus. So Acts chapter 2, 7 weeks have gone by since Jesus' death and resurrection, and then the day of Pentecost, which was a festival day, comes. They're together, as it seems like they're often together, and a sound of roaring wind comes. The sound is just filling the place where they are, and then what looks like fire, these flames are coming down and like tongues of fire rest upon each one of the people who are in the room. And they start speaking in these different languages that they didn't know and they didn't practice. And then they start telling other people about Jesus in these new languages that they've been given. And we're told that during that day, I mean, all these people are hearing this and wondering, what is happening? How can these unschooled fishermen, these most of them were not known for being the bright people in the class, but they're somehow speaking in our language and we understand them. And jumping forward, Peter stands up and he preaches a sermon telling about Jesus, and he tells them, turn from your old lives and see who Jesus is and follow that. And lots of people believe and they choose to be baptized, and there's about 3,000 of them. So we've gone from there were 120 people meeting together, praying often, having fellowship together, spending time eating together and hearing teaching. And then now in one day, you've gone from 120 to 3,000 people that are excited about what's going on. So what do they do? What are you doing? You have 3,000 people. The verse after says, these are the things that they found as important. They devoted themselves to four things: to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayers. Do those four things sound familiar from about 2 minutes ago? What the disciples were doing before the Holy Spirit comes is they're praying, there's the apostles' teaching, there's fellowship, there's this memory, this reminder of Jesus that they see in food. And then 3,000 people decide to start following Jesus, and these four things are what they devote themselves to: teaching, prayer, fellowship together. And breaking of bread is a way of saying they're eating together, and especially that memory of the meal Jesus gave, saying, when you do this, remember me, remember what I've done for you. And these are actions. So when we say disciples make disciples, I think this is a very clear example of it. What they were, those 120, replicated into 3,000 people. It wasn't, oh, now we have to come up with a system because we now have 3,000 people. What should we do? Who they were was what came to them. What became of this church. And it wasn't just having the same core values of things like, oh, well, we all agree you should be nice, or we all agree you should do this. I mean, these were actions, ways that they were living. They were spending time together. And so that way of living gets passed along to the others, listening to teaching, passing along in prayer. So here's my very short question to you. They went from 120 to 3,000 people, for those of you who like mathematics. So if you break that down, approximately, there's about 25 new Christians for every person who was already following Jesus. So, okay, we got about 25. So what if that happened today? Because in this room we have about 120 people. Maybe not exact, but about that. Say today, 3,000 people decided we want to accept that offer of what Jesus has done. We realize that love that he has lived. We realize his faithfulness to his promises. We want that. So 3,000 people jump in. What would happen? Would who we are be replicated in them? And in your own life, consider that. If 25 people started coming to this church that were exactly like you, what would that mean? Would that mean there'd be 25 more people who are loving God and loving others? Would that mean there are 25 more people who are praying together? Would that be 25 more people that are excited to go wherever God calls them to be, whether that's Mallorca, like we have a team, or Kenya, we have a team going there, or Albania later in this year? Would that mean that we have 25 more people who are willing to let anyone into their house, no matter what they look like, no matter what their background? 25 more people that would say, hey, come share a meal with me. I just want to spend time with you and get to know you because you're important, and I'm interested in you, and I want to be invested in you. Who are you now? Because if we get 3,000 more people, we're going to replicate what we are. So my challenge to you is be the person now that you'd like to see be duplicated. And it's not in our own strength, and that's a very important part of the story, is the Holy Spirit at work in us. So we don't leave that out. It's not just I fight and I fight and I fight to become who I'm supposed to be, but learning to let God's love change who we are, as Michal spoke about. Learning that God is faithful to his promises, as Jonathan spoke about, and letting that change who we are and making those decisions to be those people.